Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. Let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Almighty has shined his mercy upon us, that we might bring to you another program of nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. My name is Moray Ishaya, Yisrael, of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing you nothing but the truth. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our King. He's our lawgiver. He's our Savior, not just of Israel, but of the world. And it is my pleasure and honor to once again come before you to bring you the divine exalted words of Yah. Yesterday we started our program discussing the various things that we're going to bring to you in the next various weeks, just so that you can be prepared. For instance, this week we're talking and discussing about the virtuous women of the scriptures. The scripture says the virtuous woman who can find. And yes, it is difficult to find a virtuous woman. For most and the majority of our people have not been taught the virtues of a woman. So it's understandable why many of the women today don't exemplify the very virtues that Yahweh is looking for in a woman. And that's not to say all of them don't. But even during the time that that was written, and it was written by the wisest man that ever lived, who would know and who can see and who can judge, for he had the wisdom as well as the understanding and knowledge to know who would be virtuous or not. And even he himself said, a virtuous woman who can find. So you know this feat was not some easy feat. So in other words, rather you free or a captive woman, it didn't matter. Either you are virtuous or you're not. Either you have the ability and the capabilities to be this great, exalted, holy woman or not. And what we're doing tonight and what we're doing over the course of the next week is bringing out various women that you can see for yourself how virtuous they really are. Now, these women are not some random women in the scriptures. These women have very great purpose, and these women's lives were led, written down, put on record so that we might see them for who they are. And what is that? A virtuous woman. Other subjects that we will bring to you is a faithful man who can find. We want to see how a faithful man actually looks. We have a lot of men today that there's a scripture that says every man will proclaim his own goodness. In other words, every man to say, well, how good they are, how holy they are, how wise they are. But let's ask somebody else, how faithful you really are. And let's see what the word is out on you. And at the end of the day, your faith is not of man. Because man, say a faithful, they look at a man and say, no, he's not faithful. But Yahweh say he is, such as King David. Most people look at King David, they don't see him as no faithful man at all. This is a man that committed adultery. So you know they don't look at him as a faithful man. But how do y'all see him? And what about other men in the scriptures? Well, we're going to see. Also, we're going to discuss how to raise a child in the way it should go. And when he is old, he shall not depart thereof. So we're going to talk about raising children and how one must raise children according to the scriptures. We will also deal with the culture of Israel in the scriptures. In other words, we can see the various laws, we can see the various commandments, statutes, and judgments. But do the scriptures talk about a culture that maybe we are not aware of? There's no doubt the scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And let's go in the scripture to see indeed how much knowledge do we really have concerning our culture. And I'm going to show you exactly what culture is in the scriptures. So these are just a few things that we're going to discuss over the next few weeks. But right now, we're talking about the virtuous women of the scriptures. And the first woman that we brought out is a woman that Yahweh himself said, look unto the rock from whence you are dead. And the hole of the pit, or look unto the rock from whence you come, and the hole of the pit in which you were dead. Look unto Abraham, thy father, and Sarah that bear you. And there's an old saying that the fruit don't fall far from a tree. So a lot of times, not all the time though, but a lot of times, all you have to do is look at the fruit and you can tell the type of tree from whence it came. You can tell whether that tree is good or whether that tree was bad. Now, there are exceptions to the rule, and we'll talk about that. But for the most part, you can tell whether that tree is good. And Sarah was a good tree, one of the best trees. She was written among the trees of righteousness. And one of the last things I wanted to point out about Sarah, talking to one of my friends, buddies, they wanted to know, did Sarah and Abraham know that Yahweh would give them seed and that she will have a son before she gave her handmaid to Abraham? Or was it after Ishmael had been born, before she was told that she would have a son? So let us go to Genesis so that we can see the various events to see which one came first in the book of Genesis. Of course, one of the Sarah's greatest criticism is her greatest criticism is that she gave her handmaid unto her husband. And I don't know why that is one of her greatest criticisms when this was part of the culture of our people. You read this all through the scriptures. So I don't know why she was criticized for this. And one of Abraham's criticisms, greatest criticism, is that when he went into these various countries and various towns, the criticism is that he demonstrated fear to the extent that he put his wife as in arm's way. And you never seen this fear in Daniel, who was thrown in the lion's den. You never seen this fear in Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who was thrown in the fiery furnace. You never seen this fear in David, who went up against Goliath. So why did we see this fear in Abram? And we'll discuss that. Not sure if we discuss it tonight. But I'm here to tell you, Abraham didn't have that type of fear where he feared man to the extent that he will put his wife in jeopardy. We're going to go over that again, but tonight we're dealing with the virtuous woman. In the book of Genesis, this is the first time it was said to Abram about a child. And I start at Genesis 15 and 2. And Abram said, Yah Elohim, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my hire. And behold, the word of Yah came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy hire, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy hire. So Abram knew that Yahweh talked about giving him his own son that comes from his own bowels. Now in the 16th chapter, Genesis 16. Now you just read what happened in Genesis 15. Now watch what it says in Genesis 16, the first verse. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now Yah have restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. So in other words, she knew because her husband probably had told her that the Almighty promised that he will have seed. And she seemed well long past the age of childbearing, and Yahweh restrained me from having children. So since he promised you this thing, take my handmaid. And maybe we can have children from her. And so she didn't do like the nations do today, go to a clinic and take some sperm, or Abram go to a sperm bank, give his sperm, and then they implant it in a woman. No, we don't do that type of stuff. That's the ways of heathens. Because if they can take Abraham's sperm and put it in a woman, then they can take any man's sperm, as they do. Because a bank is where they deposit things, store up things, and they deposit all these little sperm cells. And then when a woman want to have a baby, they don't know who the man is. They don't know where it come from. And then they get impregnated, and they go right home to another woman. Not to another man, not to a family, but to another woman. And all they had to do was visit the sperm bank to do this thing. Likewise, women donate their eggs, and man donated sperm. And another woman who got a problem with her eggs, take another woman's egg and a man's sperm that they don't know, never seen, and now they get this egg with sperm inserted in it and become pregnant. And oftentimes, these relationships never, ever materialize. But this was not the case in our culture. In our culture, if we was going to sleep with a woman, she became our wife. Whether she was a handmaid, servant, no matter what she was, if we was going to sleep with her, she became our wife. Not in Islam, though, and not in these other religions. But at this time, Sarah still didn't know she can get pregnant and that she will have a child. And, of course, Hagar did become Abraham's wife. And it says in the 15th verse of the 16th chapter, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his name, his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old, meaning he was 86 years old, when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. And then in the 17th chapter, the very first verse, we still following this on. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, in other words, he was 86 years old. Now, 13 years later, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty Elohim. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I'm going to just get right down to it. And this is what he said to Abraham. 15 verse. And Elohim said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. because he thought this thing was impossible. And he didn't know that Sarah was the one who was going to have a child, nor did she. And Elohim said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Of course, this is what exactly happened. So I just wanted you all to see that. That they didn't know that Yah had purposed this thing and that he was going to use her as one of his wonders, miracles, where a woman at the age of 90 will have a child. And let me show you this last thing about Sarah, which I think is real good. And she was a beautiful woman. Even in her old age, you still had men trying to get with her. Not just any man, but kings. Kings of other countries. Even in her old age, they wanted Sarah. This is how beautiful she was. One second so I can find this scripture for you. And this is what it says. It's in the book of Genesis 21. And this is what it says in verse 1. And Yah visited Sarah as he had said. And Yahweh did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which Elohim had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as Elohim had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, Elohim hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I bore him a son in his old age. In other words, the reason why I want to read that, because I understand and I know this to be true, that many of our women today that know they're Israel, and many and the mass majority of our people don't know they're Israel at all. But people that know the women that are Israelites and they know who they are, they can tell you the horror stories that they had to go through at the hands of not just society, not just men, but even Israelite men. Horror stories. And they had to bear the burden of a lot of things that you wouldn't want no woman, especially a daughter of Zion, to go through. In other words, when you have daughters, you don't think your daughter going to go through things like we hear every day with men. You don't hear about that. In other words, families, children being abandoned, men not helping the women who have these children by them, 4, 5, 6, and they are absent. And then those who are there part-time. And then those that are in the house oftentimes are abusive. But just imagine, there was no abuse. There was no hardships from any man. Their fathers was there. And everything, you had the perfect husband. And seemingly the perfect life. With the exception of the fact that you didn't have what you wanted. Well, now you're talking about Sarah. Her only hardship in life was the fact that she wanted to give her husband a son. And she didn't blame it on him. She said, Yahweh restrained me from having babies. Because the only one that can give you this type of blessing is the Most High. And she had to live 89 years to come to the conclusion that there's nothing too hard for Yah. And when she was 90 years old, she had Isaac, an impossible miracle that was very easy for the Most High. And for the rest of her life, in which she died at 127 years old, which is almost 40 years later, she laughed. She laughed. And did not show you, did not tell you, did not show you in the scriptures, the end is better than the beginning. So it's not how you start the race off, it's how you finish it. And she finished her race laughing all the way to the grave. So sisters, I know you might have many hardships that you can talk about, but let it be known, if you seek Yah with all your heart and with all your soul, Yah said, if you seek me, you shall find me. And not only that, not only if you seek him, you will find him, but know that there's nothing too hard for Yah. So whatever your heart desires, Yah can give you anything that you desire. And if you don't get it, it is not because Yah can't deliver it to you. Just know, Yahweh, there is nothing too hard for him. Hallelujah. And I want to talk about the second virtuous woman that I've seen in the scriptures. This is another great woman, very virtuous. And you will see. And now, you want to write this down because the only, that's how you know Abraham was a very faithful guy, because if you ever look at how Yahweh felt and chose his bride, which is Israel, and what he would do with Israel, I liken them to the story with our second virtuous woman, unto the story that Yahweh would do to Israel. But let us read the story so you can know exactly who I'm speaking of. In the book of Genesis, chapter 24. And this is what it says in the very first verse. And again, what are we talking about? What are we speaking on? The virtuous women of the scriptures. A virtuous woman, who can find? And ask yourself, who wouldn't want to be a virtuous woman? In other words, who wouldn't want to be the best that they can be? And you have examples. One of the key things in Proverbs 31 is she would not do her husband evil all the days of her life. Another key scripture in Proverbs 31, a woman that fears Yah, she shall be praised. And there's a lot of various key scriptures in Proverbs 31 that undoubtedly you will see in a bold way in these women. First verse, Genesis 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And Yahweh had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his elder servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by Yahweh, the Elohim of heaven, the Elohim of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughters of Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. In other words, just because you live in another man's land, that don't mean you can start taking his women. Don't you know and understand that this is what happened during the time of Noah, when the Almighty said he seen the sons of Elohim taking the daughters of men and took wives of all that they chose? And Yah said, I repented the fact that I made man. For man imagination is only evil. In other words, once Yahweh seen that, he said, it's time to destroy this thing, because when you have something unholy being propagated in the earth, then what good is it? And Abraham knew this. So he was not about to deal with the daughters of Canaanites. And he didn't do this because he was some type of racist. He didn't do this because he was prejudiced. He didn't do this because he was biased against the Canaanites. Like people tell you, you must be racist, because you don't want your sons with white people and you don't want your daughters with white men. You must be racist. You must be prejudiced. You must be... No. Why can't you just be holy? The word holy means separated. It means to be different, unique, clean, wholesome. Watch what it says. Fifth verse. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son there again. In other words, if you don't score the first time, don't take her back. Don't take him back. Don't go back. And oftentimes when we dealing with things, we want to go back. When the first time showed us the deal. But no, we want to see it the second time. It's like a lot of times a man hit a woman and she leave. He's sorry. And then he go back, and then she go back and get hit again. What didn't you see the first time? And that's what typically happens. And Abraham, no, don't take him back there. If she won't come, that's the ball game. And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou that thou bring not my son there again. Yah Elohim of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sworn to me, saying, unto thy seed will I get his land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from my oath. Only bring not my son there again. In other words, if she ain't going to follow you, she's not the woman I thought she was going to be. And don't worry about trying to give my son to anybody. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. Because there's no greater thing that you can do in life. And this is the thing that most people don't understand. They don't understand it until after they get a divorce. And they don't understand it before they get married. That this is the single most important thing you can do in your life. And that is to get married. It's very important. 10th verse. And the servant took 10 camels, the camels of the master, and departed. For all the goods of his master was in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. I want y'all to check this out. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Yah Elohim of my master, Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. In other words, the servant prayed. He didn't just believe, he prayed. And he prayed and asked for a sign so that he would know that Yahweh was with him. The 15th verse. And it came to pass that he, and it came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebecca came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, because that's what a virgin is. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my master. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted, emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran again into the well to draw water, drew for all his camels. And a man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether Yah had made his journey prosperous or not. He wasn't sure. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in our father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said moreover unto him, we have both straw provender enough room to lodge in. And a man bowed down his head and worshiped Yahweh. And he said, blessed be Yahweh of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, Yahweh led me to the house of my master's brethren, and a damsel ran, told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earrings and the bracelet upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of Yah. Wherefore standest thou without? For I prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and Yahweh have blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he have given him flocks, herds, silver, gold, men servants, maid servants, camels, asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. Unto him have he given all that he had. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, Yahweh, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Yah Elohim of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom Yahweh have appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste, let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camel drink also. And I asked her, and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelet upon her hands. And I want to stop there just for a second, because it was a custom of our people in the days of old. First of all, you might see something a little bit different than what our people do today. Today, a man can come to a woman with nothing and have nothing, not even a place to live, and he can get everything. He can get the cookies, the house, the milk, everything. And this is not the way of our people. What kind of man don't have nothing and then will come to you and talk about marrying you without nothing? A man is supposed to have something and then move in with you. And of course, you would allow it because you hadn't been taught what we're teaching today. And here it is. In the scriptures, there was always a middleman. Here, the servant was the middleman. They wanted you always have somebody check the scenery out for you. You don't just go check the scene out for yourself because you can be trapped. And he checked the scenery out. He prayed. And the Almighty blessed him. And all he asked for is a woman that will show the various virtues that he know that his master needed. His master will be pleased with. His master can walk with. So he asked the Almighty for that type of woman. And of course, she showed her virtues. And one of the virtues of a virtuous woman is their kindness. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say the law of kindness is in her mouth. And this is what he began to do. And then he took these jewels and put it on her wrist and then put one on her face, which most likely was her nose, because you read it in other places. But either way it goes, it still didn't say he put it on her finger or hand, which I'm not against that at all. Let me tell y'all right now, I'm not against that at all, because I've done the same. But I'm just showing you what our people did in the days of old. And like I said, we're gonna talk about the various culture of our people. And I just wanted to emphasize that. And the most important thing in this was her kindness. Her kindness. 48 verse. And I bowed down my head, worship Yahweh. Bless Yahweh Elohim of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will do kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from Yahweh. We cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as Yahweh has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped Yahweh, bound himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Because this is what you want to do when you really love someone and you trying to do one of the most important things a man can do is take a wife. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. They rose up in the morning. He said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10, and after that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing Yahweh hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. In other words, this further demonstrates her virtues. She could have, after receiving all these jewels and gold, she could have said, well, let me stay back a little bit. Let me kick it here with my mother and father. And that would have let the servant know, well, her heart is not in getting married. Her heart is with her family. This ain't the type of woman I want for my master. The type of woman I want for my master, they ready to go now. And she demonstrated her heart even before she met her master, her husband. Her heart was there with him. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse and Abraham's servants and his men. Now watch what this 60th verse says. I thought this was a misprint or something. And I couldn't believe it after I read it, and watch what it says. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Thousands of millions? That's a lot. I didn't even know the word million was in the scriptures. I thought this was something the heathens made up. And maybe they did in translation. I don't know. But I was still shocked. And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Still, watch her virtues now. Because that's what we're talking about. A virtuous woman. She showed her kindness at the well. She further showed her kindness at the house. Now what will she do once she see her master? 62nd verse. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahar Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in a field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. Now, why would she do that? Why did she take a veil to cover herself? Well, this demonstrated her humility. Her humility. She wanted him to take the veil off. And this is a sign of humility. Covering up. Of course, today, our women do just the opposite. They want everything uncovered. And that's not a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman would never go around showing body parts that's only meant for her husband. Now, many women today do it not because they're not virtuous. Many of them do it because they just don't know. And they was raised wrong. But I'm saying you can be that virtuous woman, but you're going to have to cover up if this is your desire. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, took Rebekah, she became his wife. He loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. In other words, the closest woman to him was his mother. Now he had something that was bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And this all a man wants. And this is all a woman wants. And they got exactly what they wanted. Now, ask yourself, do you want anything different? And watch this. For those who think Abraham was just an old man, in the 25th chapter of Genesis, it says in the very first verse, then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. In other words, Abraham wasn't even finished. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shuah. In other words, this man was so blessed, so strong, he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more sons. 6 more sons. But this virtuous woman, Rebecca, she still was not finished demonstrating how virtuous she was. This is the second woman that I've seen. And we know what the second represents. It represents Yahweh's name. It represents Yahweh here from heaven. Why do you think Leah named her second son Simeon, which comes from the root word Shema, which means to hear? And this is exactly what happened. The servant of Abraham prayed unto Yah, and he heard him. He heard him. And he prayed for a certain type of wife for his master. And she came. And it was Rebecca. And she was a sign to him that Yahweh do here. And if you seek him, you will find him. And watch what it says. Dealing with this Rebecca. In the book of Genesis 25. And we're going to start reading at the 19th verse. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated Yah for his wife because she was barren. And Yahweh was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And I tell people all the time, if you seek him, you're going to find him. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? In other words, if I'm pregnant and everything is fine, then why is it so much? It's just a problem. This thing is, it don't feel good. And she went to inquire of Yahweh. Now, why would she do that? Because her husband did it. And so she did it also. And look what Yahweh would say to her. And Yahweh said unto her, so sisters, don't let nobody say you can't inquire of Yah. You can't seek Yah. And you can't do it without the presence and the authority of a man. No, you can go straight to Yah. And she went straight to Yah. And Yahweh said unto her, not her husband, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. That's what Yahweh told her. So she understood this thing that was in her, why it was thus. Now, did she go share this with her husband? The story will show she didn't. The story will show she kept this all to herself. And watch what it says. 24th verse. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Yaakov. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Now he's
He's 60 years old. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Yaakov was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Plain man means he's just smooth. He's smooth. Nothing rough about him. Just a smooth man. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Yaakov. And Yaakov saw pottage. Now here, just think, Rebekah know what's going on, and she see how Isaac loved Esau, so now really she can't tell him what she possibly could have did in the beginning. 29th verse. And Yaakov saw pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Yaakov, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. In other words, this red pottage is actually lentils. The red little lentils that some of y'all eat, I know I do. The red, the green, I eat all the black. And Yaakov said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? Now, mind you, you couldn't go home and eat from your mother. You couldn't go get no food from your father. And you talking about you about to die. In other words, this is a man that seems lazy and don't care. And all he want to do is take from people. Give me that red pottage. If you about to die, why can't you just call for your mother and your father? What, you was that far away? It already said Yaakov dwell, he's a plain man dwelling in tents. So surely he had to be near the tents. He wasn't out hunting. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Yaakov swore to me this day, and he swore to him. And he sold his birthright unto Yaakov. Now here, they will have in the books that Jacob means a supplanter, a deceiver, somebody who tricked people. How he tricked somebody, and this man sold his birthright. And why did he sell his birthright? He didn't care nothing about no birthright. He felt like the food that was in that pot was more valuable than that birthright. So Jacob said, look, here, you want the lentils? Give me the birthright and swear unto me. And he did it. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up, went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Who despised a birthright but a fool? I hate the fact that I was born first. Only a fool would say such a thing. But watch this. They're speaking about the virtuous woman. The 26th chapter. And we're going to go to the 27th chapter, not the 26th. And watch this. But even in the 26th, I will point this one thing out, because once again, it demonstrates her virtues. This is why she's a virtuous woman. 6th verse, 26 and 6. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife. Now, unlike his father, it literally said he feared. She is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of this place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. Now Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is thy wife. How sayest thou she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Because once Isaac told her such a thing, she wasn't going to go against it. Why? Because she was a virtuous woman. And watch what it says, 27th verse, 27th chapter. First verse. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow. Go out to the field, take me some venison, and make me savior meat, such as I love. Bring it to me that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Yaakov her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison, make me savior meat, that I may eat and bless thee before Yah, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go down to the flock, and fetch me then two good kids of goats, and I will make them savior meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Yaakov said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. And that's one of the signs that you can tell the difference between Esau and Jacob. First thing you look for is a red man, and next thing you look at is a hairy man. A lot of people say, well, I don't see no red men walking around. Well, I see a whole bunch of red men walking around. All you got to do is make them mad, and you'll see how red they get. My father peradventure will fill me, and I shall sing to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savior meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Yaakov, her younger son. And she put the skins of the goats of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. In other words, she packed a bunch of hair on his hands, packed a bunch of hair on his neck, put hair all over him, just like an Edomite. And the mass majority of Africans and black people you know are smooth people. But the mass majority of the pale-skinned people you know are hairy people. This is not rocket science, brothers and sisters, to know who Esau is. And watch what it says. And she put the skins of the kids of the goat upon his hands, upon the smooth of his neck. She gave the savior meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came, and she waited all this time to do such a thing. Why? Because Yahweh had already revealed to her this thing. Today, people call her a deceiver. Today, people call her, she lied. She tricked her husband. She did all these vile things. And Yahweh had already told her the ending from the beginning. Jacob knew the truth because Esau had despised his birthright and already sold it to him. The only one that didn't know was Isaac. But Jacob knew the truth. Rebekah knew the truth. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because Yahweh, thy Elohim, brought it to me." And I said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father. He felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands was hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and brought him wine, and he did drink. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which Yah have blessed. Therefore, give thee of the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn and wine. Let the people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be master over thy brother. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made it in a blessing Yaakov, and Yaakov was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his honey. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Now, did the story end where Isaac berated his wife, Rebecca, for deceiving him? Story ends for where he will cut Jacob off from being his son? Did he seem angry and upset by them? No, the only one that was angry and upset was Esau. Watch what it says in the 41st verse. "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brothers, Jacob.'" And these words of Esau, her eldest son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, said unto him, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, do comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. Tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? 28th chapter. And watch what happens. The very first verse. And Isaac called Jacob, blessed him, charged him, and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. In other words, he still got blessed. And watch what he do to bless him. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father. Take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And the Elohim Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, and that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which Elohim gave unto Abraham. In other words, Isaac still blessed him. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram, and Esau seen that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Malak, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaiah, to be his wife. So as we can see, how close Rebekah and Isaac was. And then also we can see how close they were to the Most High. And what came out of this? A great blessing. And oftentimes, this is what I see. What people typically see as bad, as when we read this story, and they make Rebekah some type of deceiver, some type of low life deceiver that caused dissension between two brothers. Now, why would a mother do that? Then you read where the Almighty said, you got two manner of nations in your womb, and the elder shall serve the younger. This thing was already purposed by Yah. Yahweh know us from the womb. Esau was going to hate Jacob no matter what, because Esau despised his birthright. And the instrument that Yahweh will use to see this thing be fulfilled is Rebekah. And who was she? A virtuous woman. And who was she? The same woman the servant of Abraham prayed for. Rebekah. That same one that Yahweh gave to Isaac. That same one that Yahweh revealed to her and her only, that two manner of people in her womb, and guess what they were doing in her womb? Fighting. warring, striving with one another. Very difficult pregnancy to the extent that she had to go to Yahweh about it. This was going on. And this is the one that Yahweh would use. She was a great blessing to our people because all she had to do is demonstrate fear. And she didn't. And she seen this thing all the way through. And as a result, the plain man, the smooth man, we are descendants of today. And look at us, plain and smooth. Even through all the tattoos, we're still plain and smooth. And our blessing is yet to be fulfilled. It was fulfilled once, but it will be fulfilled again. A virtuous woman who can find. This is these are the things that we're going to bring to you. And stand by until tomorrow because we have a doozy for our next one. The first one was Sarah. And why? For Yahweh himself said, look unto the rock from whence you were healed. Number two was Rebecca. And why? For Yahweh heard the prayer of the servant Abraham. And Yahweh delivered this woman into his hands. And through this woman, Yahweh will bring about what we know today as the 12 tribes of Israel. It started with Rebekah and this great blessing that was bestowed upon the younger brother, Yaakov. And then tomorrow, we will get to number three. And until then, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
I'm staying down and patient as a child.